WRKC is proud to present a new weekly drama, The Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King's students. We now present our seventh episode, Crems and Misdemeanors.
Well, look at this. The great Harry Flynn waltzes in over an hour late to work. Oh, that's fine. Just ignore me. Harry.
Go home, Deborah.
Harry, what's the matter?
Go home. It's the first.
Oh, you staying here? I'll just get my things.
Hey, welcome to Glenn's. Tonight only, all the drinks are on the house.
Wow, really?
April Fools.
You know, from an unbiased point of view, that felt really contrived.
Just shut up and go drink. Welcome to Glenn's. Oh, hey, Harry.
Hello, Glenn. Do you have the booth ready?
Every April Fool's Day.
Don't say the name, please.
Oh, right. Sorry. Right this way.
Glenn learned fast when I started going to his bar that I don't take easy to... today. He led me back to my special booth. Well, it wasn't a booth so much as a closet with a card table, a velour chair, and enough booze to knock out a minor league baseball team waiting inside. Glenn locked the door behind him so I wouldn't disturb the customers. I buckled down and got to work. I was halfway through three bottles of some fast-acting brown liquor when I started to reminisce. Aw, damn it. Here we go. Jack Flynn Detective Agency? No, this is his brother, Harry. What's the case? Investigate the disappearance of one Prince Albert. Oh, very funny.
Who was that?
Some idiot prankster. He called to say that Prince Albert was missing.
Well, where was he?
In the can. Hey, Jack, could I talk to you for a minute?
Sure thing, kiddo. What's up?
Well, it's just that I didn't want to go behind your back, but I put an ad in the paper for a new secretary.
Well, thanks for warning me.
I'm sorry, Jack. It's just that I don't want to be involved with this detective stuff all my life. I want to go out and get a real job, you know?
Harry, come on. It's in your blood. What would Dad think?
But that's just it. I don't...
Hold on a minute, Harry. I need to find my cigarettes.
Do you have to smoke in here? You know how I feel about it.
Well, kid, when it's your office, you can do whatever you want with it. But while I'm here, tough luck.
Anyway, I was saying I don't want to die the way he did. I didn't even get to... I didn't get to know...
All right. I'm putting it out. Harry, our father did what he did because he wanted to help people. Unfortunately, dying happens to be a serious side effect from this line of work.
Yeah, but Jack...
You want to get that, kiddo?
Probably just another prankster. Jack Flynn Detective Agency. Harry here. All right. We'll be here. Okay. See you then.
Who was that?
Another prankster. Get this, he called in the robbery of some sour cream or something. Said he'd be down in 15 minutes, but I wouldn't hold your breath. Good thing it was a figurative statement. Sure enough, 20 minutes later, in walked a thin, lanky Frenchman with peppered hair and such a thick air of supremacy you could cut it with a cheese knife.
Good afternoon, Messieurs Flynn. My name is Henri, and I am the head marshal d' at the Chaussée-en-Azay. Perhaps you have heard of us?
I can't say that I have.
Huh. Well, the Chaussée-en-Azay happens to be the finest French restaurant in our fair city. And the most terrible thing has happened to it.
My brother was telling me. You guys had all your sour cream stolen, right?
Zoot, no. Someone has stolen all of our crème fraîche.
And that is?
You do not know what crème fraîche is?
Can't say that I do.
Crème fraîche is thicker, nuttier, and more silky smooth than that horrible slop cream. Plus, it does not curdle when cooked, making it a staple of most French cuisine, next to demi-glace.
Demi-what-who?
Mon Dieu, I'm surrounded by imbeciles.
So, just to be clear, you are hiring me, at my standard rate, to find thick, nutty cream that doesn't curdle?
When cooked, monsieur, yes.
Hey, what the hell? I'll do it. Harry, I'm going to accompany Henri here down to the scene. Don't wait up.
Never do.
Batting 100.
I watched my brother head out the door for what would be the last time. At first, I didn't think much of the 3 hours he was gone. He told me not to wait up, so I figured maybe he was out with a woman. Or women. I don't know if people remember it too well, but Jack was a celebrity. Raymond Chandler, Dashiell Hammett, and every single member of the Vicious Circle interviewed him to get ideas for their stories. He was a bona fide legend. Come in.
Hello, Mr. Flynn?
Yes, but not the one you're thinking of. I'm his brother.
You're funny. My name is Deborah Sullivan, and I'm here for the interview.
For the secretary position?
That's right. Were you the old secretary?
Yes. Yes, I was.
Well, that's interesting. You don't find many male secretaries, do you?
No, not many. Well, the position has been changed to a temp job. Are you still interested?
Oh, yes, Mr. Flynn.
Please, call me Harry. You sure are peppy, aren't you?
Yes, sir. Mr. Flynn. Harry.
I spent a good portion of an hour interviewing this woman who would later become the bane of my very existence. After a standard Q&A session, I wrote her up a strong letter of recommendation to Jack and called up an old friend. Hello? Carolyn?
Harry, how are you?
I'm fine. How's college treating you?
It's great. It's a little odd being one of the only women on campus, but it's kind of liberating. How is it being Jackie Boy's secretary?
Could we please lay off the male secretary jokes again? Just one time.
All right, Harry. Well, I've got to go. I just want an internship with the newspaper, and tomorrow's my first day. Well, bye, Harry.
Bye, Carolyn. Even then, she made my heart flutter. But I felt like she deserved a college-educated man, not someone who jumped right from high school to behind his brother's desk. So I didn't pursue her. I had a feeling she liked me, but I would have only dragged her career down. As all these thoughts buzzed around in my head, the phone started to ring. I thought it was going to be another prankster, so I answered it less than pleasantly. To my surprise, I heard the gravelly voice of the chief of police on the other line.
Harry, come down to 1459 West 59th immediately. It's urgent.
What's the problem?
It's your brother. He's been shot.
I hopped into my car and drove to the address as fast as I could. I got to the address, which was the rear of the restaurant, and ran to my brother. But it was too late.
Harry? Kiddo?
I'm here, Jack. I'm here.
Now, you won't have to deal with smoke in the office.
And with that, he closed his eyes and died. Damn it, damn it, damn it, damn it, damn it!
We'll return for the exciting conclusion of Crimes and Misdemeanors, but first, a word from our sponsor.
He's been in our hearts and in our minds for years. His skills as a songwriter are legendary, leaving a haunting call to action in our heads, which is both empowering and inexcusably disturbing. And now, the good people from Low Standards Records are proud to present the best of Catfish Horowitz Nelson and his all-hand band. Who could forget such classics as Purdy Lady? And now, all these classics can be yours. For just 3 easy payments of 8 cents, you can receive 25 of the best Catfish songs ever recorded. And who would pass up an opportunity to own such instant hits as Scarborough Sadness, but don't take my word for it. Just ask some of the people who have capitalized on this tremendous offer.
I never actually heard of Catfish before this record offer.
Now I can't get enough of his music, whatever he's saying.
My husband and I love Catfish so much that his music was used for every dance at our wedding.
I want to be just like Catfish when I grow up.
Ha ha ha, you're on your way. Act now and we'll throw in a bonus record. Catfish duets. Duets between Catfish and his wife Martha. Who can ever forget their greatest masterpiece, Dragons in Congress? So act now while this offer remains. Just call 1-800-LOW-STANDARDS and ask for Jerry.
We now return to the exciting conclusion of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.
It's been 5 years since he died. Not a day goes by where I don't think of him. He was a great role model, a good friend, and an excellent detective. I still try to live up to him each day. I was halfway through the liquor that Glenn had provided for me in my little closet booth when I heard his key in the lock. The light was staggeringly bright when he opened the door.
I closed, so you can come out now.
Thanks, Glenn. Let me see if I can... Oh, boy. In attempting to walk around the bottles I'd strewn around in my closet, I tripped and broke 2 chairs, a handmade billiard table, and some antique something. I'm not sure what it was.
Okay, Harry, I think you've had enough.
You're probably right. Hey, at least I stopped rempadoodle, renkalana...
Reminiscing?
Yes. Yes. That is the word. That is apparently also a trigger word for the action of reminiscing. I thought about the time I spent with my mother and Carolyn after Jack's funeral.
I can't believe my little Jackie's gone.
There's nothing anyone could have done, Mrs. Flynn. Anyway, Jack's in a better place now.
I suppose you're right, Carolyn. I hope Harry snaps out of it soon. So when are you going to look for work, dear?
Huh? What?
I said, when are you going to start job hunting? I'm sure you could get some nice secretary jobs with your credentials.
Really, Carolyn? Today of all days.
Sorry, Harry. It's just... I'll stop.
I don't know, Ma. I want to find out who did this to Jack.
Well, we'll just hire another detective. I mean, we know plenty.
I'll do it.
You can't. I won't let you.
Harry, I know you just...
You don't understand. You didn't see him die. I held him in my arms and watched the light go out of his eyes. I'll be the one to bring the killer to justice. Mom, can I use your phone? Hello, Deborah? Yes, it's me, Harry Flynn. You're hired. Yes, my brother just... Well, you'll be working for me as the new secretary for the Harry Flynn Detective Agency. I helped Deborah move all of her things into the office as we both got settled into our new roles. I sensed something about Deborah that was slightly... different. Deborah? Are you okay?
What? Oh, yes, I'm fine.
You seem sort of distant. Is anything wrong?
No, it's just... Well, I was expecting to work under your brother and...
I know. I'm not him.
Oh, no, it's just that...
Deborah, it's okay. I understand. We're both victims of circumstance here. I won't mind it, just as long as you keep that positive attitude up.
Okay, as long as you pay me on time.
I decided to head over to the champagne and whatever the hell it was to poke around a little bit. I headed behind the restaurant to where they found Jack. It was still taped off. I looked around and found a dislodged shell by the dumpster. I was just about to make my way back to the car when I was stopped by a familiarly arrogant face.
Monsieur Flynn, I was saddened to hear about the passing of your brother.
Hear about it? It happened behind your restaurant.
Oh, oui, monsieur. Yes, I'm sorry. I do not know where my head is. Jacques, could you come over here and show Monsieur Flynn out?
Something seemed a little fishy with Henri, so I decided to investigate a little further. Just a minute, Henri. I'm famished. Would you mind?
Why, heavens no. Jacques, direct Monsieur Flynn to the best seat in the house.
After Jacques sat me down, I snuck into the back of the kitchen. Mind you, I wasn't looking for anything in particular. I was working off pure instinct. While I was sneaking around, I saw something that to this day still haunts me. They weren't out of creme fraiche at all. Far from it. They had an industrial-sized freezer full of this stuff. Only one thing was going through my mind at the time. Setup. They set my brother up with some ridiculous cream chase just to kill him. But why? I was so flabbergasted I blew my cover and charged at Henri, pinning him up against the wall. What the hell is this?
Now, Monsieur Flynn, I can explain.
Did you set my brother up? Did you set my brother up?
No! When I learned of his death, I just went out and bought some more creme. That is all.
Then why didn't you do that in the first place? He was speechless. You did. You did set him up. You French! As I was shaking him, a large gun fell out of his pocket. I grabbed it from him before he could get it. Upon inspection, I realized it used the same caliber bullets as the shell I found behind the restaurant. You killed him?
Oui, monsieur. And now I shall kill you.
He had a second gun on him. I ducked out of the way of the shot, a feat I was rather impressed with back then, given my lack of physical exercise. He kept shooting at me, until he pinned me up against a wall.
Two Flynns in 1 week. Au revoir, Monsieur Flynn. Oh.
And that would be the first time I ever shot someone. Truth be told, I didn't even know that the gun was loaded. All right, Henri. Tell me why you killed my brother. Henri laughed and spit in my face. At that point, I was more than angry with him, so I pistol-whipped his face. I am done playing around, Henri. Tell me why, or my brother won't be the only one they find dead behind this restaurant. A little harsh, but hey, I was grieving. I'll work on tact later.
All right. Help me up, and I'll show you.
I helped him up, making sure to keep my gun pressed firmly into his hips. He took me to what I believed was the back wall of the restaurant. He pressed a brick in, and the wall popped out towards us. Inside of this trick wall were bottles. I opened one up and smelled it. Oh, it smells like paint thinner. You're bootlegging?
Yes. Your brother took down our safety man a few weeks ago. We knew that if he ratted, we would be done for. So we called up your brother, gave him a phony case, and then...
I know the rest. So you killed him over this disgusting slop? Well then I, Harry Flynn, swear that from this day forward, a drop of alcohol shall never touch my lips. And then Prohibition ended. So here I am, drowning myself in what my brother was killed for. Some brother I am.
Sorry, sir. We're closed.
Sorry, a couple guys at the precinct said they would meet me down here for some brews at 4 a.m.
Buddy, I'd say you just got pranked.
Oh, dang it. Harry?
Spinovich?
Spinelli.
Sorry, I'm pretty drunk.
I can tell.
Hey, what's your first name?
Oh, Travis. It's Travis.
Well, Travis, pull up a chair and have your fill of what's ever left in that closet.
Gee, thanks, Harry.
No problem, kiddo.
This has been The Adventures of Harry Flynn, presented by WRKC. This week's episode, Krems and Misdemeanors, was written by Lucas R. Tomasacci. Our cast today was Brandon Leon Gambetta as Harry Flynn and Catfish Horowitz Nelson, Brandy George as Deborah, Martha, and Mom, Drake Nestor as Jack, commercial announcer and child, Elizabeth Williams as Carolyn and wife, Mark Zurich as Glenn Henri and chief, and Lucas Tomasacci as announcer, bargoer, catfish lover, and Spinelli. If you'd like to write or perform in The Adventures of Harry Flynn, find us on Facebook.